Thanks, Wesley. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed your vacation time. And if you've been vacating, we're glad to have you here as well. It's Father's Day. It is Dad's Day. And I hope all of our dads are being made to feel special, even though we have not gone as over the top as some other faith hubs have today. I saw this week that there were some churches that were going with an outdoor adventure theme for Father's Day. They were hosting church-wide campouts and a big game dinner. There was also a couple of churches that they were going to have axe throwing at church. Yeah, it's true. They were inviting free cookout, axe throwing. Now, we're still talking with our lawyers about that, so maybe next year, Dad, we're going to check that out, see what we can do. But today at East Brainerd, you are going to have to be content with Kaneka sausage and some root beer and some silly socks, okay? That's what we got going on for you today. And a special thanks to Ashley Francis, our connections minister, to Brittany Bichelle, our children's minister, for helping to get everything set up out there in the lobby. And a huge shout out to some fellow dads, Jeff Baugh and Chris Jones, for coming early and for manning the grill so that you can enjoy all that sausage. And I think there is still some left, so as we are heading out, if you'd like to grab some, please do so. Get you a plate. It is good, good. It's good, good stuff. And it's just good, good to be here today with you guys and to be able to celebrate as a dad. It's always good to be able to see fellow dads and be like, hey, you made it. Man, you're looking good. You know, you've survived. I mean, you've got most of your hair, some of your hair. You know, you're looking good, Dad. Because let's just be honest, dads do some weird things. And so the fact that we actually have a day is pretty cool. Because like Sean mentioned, Mother's Day is like the third largest attended church day. And Mother's Day as a holiday in our country, it is actually number two behind Christmas. So there is Jesus and Mama. And that's what we dads have to deal with. Father's Day actually comes way on down the list. Halloween is actually more popular than Father's Day. Right? I mean, dead things are more important than dads sometimes. So the fact that we just have a day is really cool, especially given the fact that some dads are just really weird. And there are just some universal quirks that give us access into the dad club where we're able to just be weird. For instance, have you noticed, and maybe you have grown up in a home like this, maybe I'm talking about you, we'll see. But a lot of dads are guardians of the home thermostat. Have you noticed that? And that touching the temperature setting will often result in a dad saying, are we trying to heat the whole neighborhood? Or a lot of dads are their own neighborhood watch. And dads like to go and look out the window or walk out onto the porch just to check the perimeter and make sure that everything is good. And dads, for some weird reason, dads have the ability to just sit down on a couch for just a moment and fall asleep. Yeah. In fact, we have debated about how much longer we're going to keep these pews in here because there are some dads that get really comfortable on Sunday mornings. But dads, you also, cars and lawns, you're obsessed with that. We'll be, for some reason, dads, we'll back into parking spaces and intentionally park a half a mile away from an entrance just in order to have an easy exit out of the parking lot, right? That's what we do. And there's a lot of dads that practice very diligent lawn maintenance, making sure that every blade of grass is at its correct height. And it is a rite of passage whenever dad turns over the weed whacker to one of his offspring. And it's like, it's finally time, son. It's finally time, daughter. You can have the yard. I give it to you. And we dads, we say weird things, right? We will get there when we get there. Did your dad ever say that? We will get there when we get there. Or If your friends jump off a bridge, would you? Or how about this one? Don't make me turn this car around. Or my one of my favorites, don't make me come back there. Right? Or you're out playing t-ball and the ball is hit towards you and you just kind of ole and move out of the way and your dad says, hey, get in front of it. That ball won't bite you. And you're like, it's got teeth? And then, of course, there's always the rub some dirt on it that dads say. And there's just some weird things that dads end up doing and saying. But we're not the only ones. Actually, I have a book with me right here this morning. The Weirdest People in the World. And it is not about dads. Actually, it's about all of us. It was published in 2020, and it details how Western civilization became psychologically peculiar and particularly prosperous. It's a book about Western, educated, industrialized, rich, democratic societies, or WEIRD for short. And the weird thing is, our faith and religious practices have been shaped by each of these WEIRD components. You see, Western philosophical assumptions prioritize individual reasoning over communal discernment. Education leads us to approach faith intellectually rather than as an embodied practice. Industrialization fragments our lives into specialized compartments, including a separate category, even for spiritual matters. Riches cause us to be self-dependent. And democracy conditions us to vote on spiritual practices that we prefer instead of submitting to spiritual authority. You see, our weirdness influences the way that we read scripture, the way that we participate in church, the way we understand evangelism, the way we conceptualize worship, the way we approach salvation, and it definitely influences the way that we see Jesus. But the crazy part is, we don't even realize it. It's like wearing sunglasses outside, and then maybe you come inside, you forget that you even have them on. It's just something that becomes natural to you. And so last week, I talked about how that we've all been handed what I referred to as a mystery Messiah. A mystery Messiah wrapped up and boxed in religion and tradition and history and culture and family. And this Messiah was then passed down to you by your parents, or it was given to you at church, or maybe you were introduced to him on TikTok. And this Messiah became your own personal Jesus. Your own personal Jesus. And some of you might know that Depeche Mode had a song by that name back in 1989. It was not a religious song. It wasn't necessarily even about Jesus. But Martin Gore wrote it about the human need to have someone that you can open up to completely. Someone that you can trust with your fears and problems and weaknesses. And in that sense, a person becomes your personal Jesus, whoever it is that you are confiding in, the person that you are leaning on. They become kind of an emotional savior. And the idea actually came from Priscilla Presley's book about Elvis, where she described how Elvis became almost a godlike figure in her life. And so Gore then turned that into a broader idea about relationships, how people often look to have someone to lean on, to confess to believe in. And they sang about how we can all have our own personal Jesus. And we don't think there's anything weird about that. But then we open up our Bible. We open up our Bible to a place like the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark that begins, "This is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah." And it says in verse 16, "One day as Jesus was walking along the shore on the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, 'Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people.' And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John. They were in a boat preparing their nets. He called out to them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. Here we have at the very beginning of Mark's story about the Messiah, he shares how Jesus breaks with tradition and he calls people to follow him. You see, students in those days chose rabbis. Rabbis did not choose students. Those who wished to learn sought out a rabbi and said, I want to study with you. I want to follow you. I want you to be, in our vernacular, my personal rabbi. But Mark is showing that a relationship that Jesus is talking about, the connection that he wants to have with those who would be his students, his disciples, his followers, is different. You see, Jesus chooses you. You don't choose Jesus or a version that you would like to have in your life. And I don't know, maybe that sounds kind of weird to you this morning, as you have just grown up thinking that, well, you could just choose whatever type of Jesus that you would like. Because our weird society has allowed us the freedom to deconstruct and then to construct Jesus into anything that we want him to be. We live in a culture where we have it our way. And that whole slogan, have it your way, has evolved from a fast food idea to a lifestyle manifesto. Have you noticed how that our coffee orders have become paragraph-length recitations of personal preferences? How that streaming services deliver content using precise algorithms that are tailored to our viewing histories? Our news feeds, well, they filter reality through the lens of our political leanings. And from personal playlists to build your own burrito bowls, we instinctively assume that the world should conform to our specifications. We're no longer just consumers. We've customized our consuming. And look, hey, look, I understand personalization can be helpful, but there can be a dark side to this, especially when it comes to spiritual truth. You see, somewhere between selecting a smartphone case and personalizing our license plates, we've unintentionally found ourselves taking a build-a-Jesus approach to our faith. Now, I remember taking my kids to Build-A-Bear. You guys remember that one? You can still go to the mall. It was a big deal, though, for my kiddos. I mean, you got to pick out your bear, you got to choose its clothes and its accessories, and you can even see here in this photograph, there in that right, you look back there on the wall with those bears, it says what? Choose me. And they did, over and over and over again. And we would go in and you would choose your bear, and then you get to decide how squishy that you wanted him or her to be. And you could give your bear a heart, and your bear could even have a voice recording. It was, and still is, a great experience for a kid, but I'm afraid that we have taken this same approach to Jesus, where we decide how squishy he can be. Firm enough to support us, but not too firm so that he challenges our lifestyle or convictions. And we go and we select a voice, perhaps a heartfelt, I love you. Or, I forgive you. But certainly not, take up your cross. Or, sell your possessions. And then we go and we dress him up to look, well, to look like us. It just seems natural to see Jesus as looking like the person who is in the mirror. You see, we have our own personal Jesus. And sociologist Christian Smith has documented this drift toward our own personal Jesus in his research on moralistic therapeutic deism. And he makes the case that this is the de facto religion of the people in the West. All of us weird people, this is kind of how we go about our lives religiously. You see, it's a belief system that presents God as a cosmic therapist and divine butler, whose primary reason for existence is to help us feel good about ourselves and to solve our personal problems. Jesus is less the Lord who commands our allegiance and more the friend who supports our self-actualization. And it's no coincidence that this therapeutic, individualized Jesus is perfectly adapted to modern consumer capitalism. You see, he demands nothing that would disrupt the way that we spend our money, the way we use our time, the way we treat those we're in relationship with, the way we engage with our communities. Because this Jesus, the Jesus that oftentimes we like to build, our personal Jesus focuses more on our personal well-being than on communal transformation. He fits neatly into our compartmentalized lives as one more resource for self-improvement. But get this, when Jesus calls out to Peter, James, and John, he tells them that, look, if you will follow me, Jesus says, if you will follow me, I will poieo ginomai you. He says, I will make you to become. I will make you to become. You see, Jesus is the one who would do the building. Jesus is the one who would do the forming, the constructing, as he changed those fishermen. As he moved them from one point, from one station in life to another where he desired for them to be as disciples and as followers for his purpose. It wasn't the other way around. Follow me, he said, and I will make you. We follow and Jesus creates. It's when we reverse that process that I think life gets a little bit off course for us. And don't miss what he makes them to become. He takes these guys who have salt water in their veins. And he says, I'm going to show you how to fish for people. Now, I've seen some of the episodes of The Deadliest Catch, and I don't really think fishermen are necessarily the warmest and fuzziest of guys. And so I have to think that Jesus perhaps maybe had a smirk on his face when he said, come on, fellas, I'm going to give you all a crash course in how to win friends and influence people. I mean, these young guys were going from the family fishing business to God's kingdom business. They were leaving the safety and the comfort of their boats to follow Jesus into confrontations and conversations that they were totally unprepared for. And I don't know, maybe that's why we prefer a personal Jesus. One that makes sure we never have to be uncomfortable. One that makes sure we never have to make sacrifices in life. And one that makes sure that we never have to change. Because after all, we say, Jesus loves me just the way that I am. And that's true. But he doesn't want you to stay that way. So let's talk about some take-homes for us this Father's Day. And I'm going to address these take-homes here initially, primarily to the dads in the room, though the rest of you can listen, even though the pews are comfortable. Dads, we need to see ourselves as chosen by God. Chosen by God. I don't know if you've noticed, but dads, and really just men in general, get a bad rap these days. In entertainment and media, it's usually the dad who is weird and backwards and ignorant and lazy. Somebody's old man is often the butt of jokes or portrayed as out of touch. And being a cultural punching bag is one thing, but dads are hit then even harder by real life pressures and expectations. And it seems like dads, we are presented with two opposite extremes. Either become the caricature that we see presented in TV and in media, or embrace some form of macho masculinity. That it's one or the other. But I would just like to suggest to you this morning that you do neither. Instead, how about let's find our value and let's find our direction and let's find our purpose in the fact that we have been chosen by God. I'd love for you to highlight the truth of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, where it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance, Paul says, to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That is what he wanted to do, Paul says, and it gave him great pleasure. Dads, highlight that. So the next time you're feeling beat up at work, the next time that you are being made fun of in some movie, highlight that. Go back and read it and remind yourself, hey, I've been chosen by God. Because all of us guys, we're going to struggle with relationships and jobs, and we're going to struggle with our health and with our wealth. And dads, we're going to struggle as husbands and fathers. But when those struggles come, don't run to some bar or stereotype. And don't go all dad bro. Instead, find your peace and let's find our strength in God's calling. You are part of his family. First and foremost, you are a child of God. So that's the first thing. Let's see ourselves as being chosen by God. Second, let's let Jesus create us anew for his purposes. You see, this weird world that we live in has convinced us to build and to hoard and consume all that we can. And so all the focus is on my career or my retirement. We talk about my family, my spouse, my kids, my hobbies, my life, my kingdom. But here's the deal. According to, again, the Apostle Paul, he would write to the church and say that our Father, our Heavenly Father, has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. You see, we have been moved from one dominion into another dominion. But a lot of us are still trying to expand a kingdom that we should no longer be inhabiting. I think it's time that we allow Jesus to make us become someone that he can use for his purpose. And often that means becoming something that we are not. When you think about those guys who made their living fishing, and now Jesus is saying, all right, I'm going to take you out of the water, and I'm going to put you on land, and I'm going to have you interact with all types of people, and you are going to be about sharing the good news of God with them. That just did not make sense for them. They were going to have to become something that they were not if they were going to be able to fulfill the purposes of Jesus. And dads and moms, grandmas, grandpas, kids, maybe that's what God wants to have happen with us, that he would love for us to become something that we are not. That he would like to see us become more calm or more patient. That he desires for us to become more assertive. He desires for us to be intentional. He wants us to be more relational. He wants us to become more involved. He wants us to move out of whatever the box it is that we currently find ourselves and to be here where he says, you know what, this is your purpose and this is what it's about. It doesn't mean you never get to fish again. Those guys, they continued and they went back and they fished. It doesn't mean you never get to see your family anymore, even though later on Jesus would say that unless you hate father and mother, you cannot be my disciple. And James and John, well, they just left Zebedee in the boat. Now, Dad, how do you like it when your kids leave you right in the middle of a project and he's trying to figure out, what am I going to do? And he's like, wait till I get home and tell their mother. And these things just keep going through our minds sometimes. Well, and apparently to serve Jesus, I've got to leave my career. I've got to leave my... It doesn't mean that you have to necessarily change careers or move to Tuscaloosa, Alabama because they need Jesus. I mean, it is about being formed into someone who says, knowing, loving, resembling, and serving Jesus is going to be the supreme passion of my life, and everything else will come second. That's what being transformed is all about. So let Jesus create you anew for his purpose. And now, moms and dads, here's one that always hits close to home. If our kids see us choosing and creating our own personal Jesus, they will do the same, and their lives will be worse for it. The best thing you can do for your kids is be a dad, be a mom, be a grandparent who follows Jesus the Messiah. Best thing. Better than trying to figure out which preschool they should be a part of, or which travel ball team that you should pay all your money to, or what kind of college it's going to be and what kind of car they're going to drive and even their friend group and where you're going to live and all those things that we put so much time and effort into and the things that keep us up at night. The best thing that you can do for your kids is follow Jesus and allow him to create you into what you need to become. So let me challenge you this morning to put the same effort into following Jesus that you put into your career and into your hobbies. Our children need to see us walk away from something that we love or something that brings us comfort because Jesus is going to come first. And you know what? Our kids are smart. Our kids are smart. And they know the Jesus that we follow. You know, you can fool me, and you can fool those people who are sitting around you this morning, but you will not fool your children. That spiritual but not religious Jesus who is rarely here on Sundays, the convenient Jesus who only shows up on Sundays, the partisan Jesus who shouts down others on social media on Sundays and Mondays and Tuesdays and your kids know. My kids know. And they will grow up. And be just like you. Only worse. Because rarely do our kids rise above the faith level of their parents. But the good news is that it's not too late. You can still follow and be changed by Jesus. And so I wonder, have we allowed another person or thing to take the place of Jesus in our lives? Where we've kind of begun to build our own Jesus. I wonder if we've gone seeking validation in another person's eyes. I wonder if our identity is determined by our career. If we get our worth from our bank accounts. I wonder if our happiness is found in just things. I know that for a lot of us, it's hard to share our feelings. We're just not good at it. But sometimes we find someone to completely trust and open up to with our fears, problems, and weaknesses. And we want that person to be Jesus for us. But here's the thing. Whatever that thing is or whoever that person is, they will collapse under the weight that we put on them because they cannot be Jesus in our life. No relationship, no accomplishment, no title, no toy can save us from this weird world. Only Jesus, the Messiah, can do that. And so I sent a message this week to my kids. And I asked them, I said, hey, I'm putting together some notes for this weekend's message. And I'm going to be talking about weird things that dads do. Can you feed me some? And then I had to say, okay, that's enough. Please stop. Taking a little personal. But they brought up the fact that, and I've shared this one before, that I eat with forks, not spoons. You know, we know that. I've shared that before. But they also brought up how that I like to put cereal in the freezer after I've poured in the milk so that the cereal can get cold and soggy. I didn't think that was weird because I'm sure all of you do the same. So I feel like I'm in good company there. But, you know, truth is, dads, moms, sons, daughters, we are all weird. We're all weird. Because we've all been impacted by our Western culture to believe that it's okay just to have a personal Jesus. One that we create. But I was thinking, how about this morning? How about we just commit to just taking our weirdness over the top? I mean, if we're weird already, right? How about we just commit to really being weird within our culture? And I'm not talking about standing out on the street corner and yelling at people as they go by weird, okay? I'm talking about choosing not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but instead choosing to follow the Messiah and allowing him to transform us into the person who can best accomplish his kingdom purpose. See, I want to be weird like that. I want my kids to be weird like that. How about you? Father, we come to you and admit that we're weird and that we have been influenced by our society and culture to see you and to approach Jesus through a specific lens that just makes us think that we can personalize him. That we can tweak him. We can make him a little less rough around the edges. That we can have him be just as comfy as we would like for him to be. And it makes perfect sense to us because we look around and everybody else has their own personal Jesus. So why can't I have my personal Jesus? And so I would just pray this morning, Lord, that we'll be able to use this time just to perhaps shatter that lens that we're looking through and realize that we just need to let Jesus be Jesus. That we need to hear the call of the Messiah and choose to follow and allow him to change us and not have it be the reverse. And so I'm just thankful that Father, you're so patient with us. I'm thankful that you're patient and that you give us opportunities like this and that you have given us your scriptures and that we have these pictures of Jesus recorded for us so that we might be able to see here is what he is truly like and here's what he asks and so that we might be able to see you more clearly. I just pray that we would have the humility to be able to put our own personal Jesus aside and say, Lord, I will follow where you lead. Make me to become whatever it is that you desire for me to be. May that be our prayer this morning as dads, as moms, as sons and daughters. May we all grow up weird children of God. It's in the name of Jesus the Messiah that we pray today. and amen. Friends, we're going to sing a song to give praise to God, but also a song that we just use this time just for us to be able to kind of to think through and to discern some of the things that we have already experienced today, whether it is another song that we have sang together, the communion that we share, something that I have spoken here from this table, or maybe something that you have read there in Scripture, just to allow that to sink in. And maybe because of that, we want you to have the opportunity to respond if you need to. We want you to know that if you'd just like a time of private prayer, there is a prayer room in our lobby. It's located just past the doors, and you're welcome to go there. One of our elders, one of our shepherds, one of our pastors here at the church will be at that door if you'd like for them to go in with you so that you can have a conversation. You're welcome to do that. Or maybe, like we used to old school, maybe you need to just come this morning and say, you know what, I just need the prayers of this church family for me as a father, as a mother, as a son or daughter. Or maybe like the video that we saw earlier, you would like to be baptized into Christ. You're ready to follow and allow Jesus to change you. Let's be weird followers of Jesus the Messiah as together we stand and give God praise.